Hey, this is Joel Hoekstra of Whitesnake and Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and you're listening to Wild Man and Steve.
You are about to listen to the intersection of faith, talk, and music. The Wild Man and Steve Show starts right now.
Exciting conclusion of the interview with Chaotic Resemblance on the Wild Man and Steve Show. With Wild Man and Steve.
One of the challenges that you guys seem to have, I don't know, you guys have risen to it, you've answered it, or rather God has provided for you, is in finding places to play. Here recently, you guys seemed like you were playing a lot through the Midwest, and you had a lot of concerts going on. How did that happen? I feel like there's a lot of bands struggling, especially coming out of the pandemic. We hear that all the time, trying to get the whole live entertainment business really trying to get back on its feet, to say nothing of this style of music, which say over and over and over again, it's never going to be 1986 again. And so that style of music struggles. And then, hey, you guys are Christians. Well, you know, kiss the spotlight goodbye, right? I mean, so how did you guys manage to get this run of gigs that you had? We're recording this episode now in early November, but kind of through the fall, it seemed like you had quite a run of gigs.
Yeah, we've definitely been blessed. The Lord definitely opened a ton of doors to do that. I would absolutely give him all the credit. Because there was plenty of doors that we would knock on. Even this year, I was writing a lot of places trying to get in anywhere. One place rejected us saying, we're actually a rock and metal venue. I don't think we'll be a good fit for you. And I was honestly fleshly offended by that statement. And so I told Travis, and he was offended too. So we both fell into sin. So we had to repent.
Like, how does it get more metal than Surrender?
Are you kidding me? I responded with like our resume. I'm like, we played Rock Oklahoma 5 times. We did this. So it didn't work out. But and then one venue, they opened their doors to us in Nashville, and they I guess I had a couple people booking, and so they booked us. They said, okay, you know, we send in our stuff so they would know what they were getting. And then we get there, and there's a folk singer going on before us. And we're like, okay, this is cool. He was very nice, and he was talented. And then we get up there, and before that, we had a call from the owner. He was like, hey, don't run my crowd off. You know, if I knew you guys were going to have all this gear, we wouldn't have had you. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, that's fine. We'll be nice, and we tried. But I mean, they still probably didn't like it anyway. But it was a small room, but we played smaller and played louder. So I mean, we had a couple challenges with that. We had plenty of cancellations, plenty of stuff come up. But the Lord was faithful, and He got us where we needed to be, so people could hear the gospel.
Yeah, you know, when the Lord asked us to go full time, you know, we emphatically said yes. But with that, you know, there is that like, okay, we've always wanted to play as full time as possible, you know, so what's going to make this any different? And definitely it was the Lord came through on his end. You know, he wouldn't have asked us if he wasn't going to come through on his end, and he did, and he is, and we have stuff just continually just opening up, and opportunities already lining up for next year. And you know, we just trust God with it and through it. And I don't know like an exact number, but my dad, he loves it. So he's keeping a tally on everybody who's lifting their hand for salvation and stuff. But it's remarkable. I mean, I don't even know, but it's, I would say this year alone, we've probably seen more people come to Jesus than our whole, the whole ministry before.
Hundreds.
Since the last 15 years. So
hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, with, again, with music and lyrics that go so well together, it's like, I don't know how somebody couldn't, quite honestly. You know, I mentioned Les Carlson, who I know is a friend of yours. You guys are friends with Oz Fox as well. What advice do you guys get from some of these veterans of the Christian rock and metal scene? And at some point, I got to be honest, we got to stop seeing you guys as up and coming, because I really think that you guys are moving into that established realm, and especially with Nazarites. I think anybody who knows anything about music would listen to this album and go, oh my goodness, this is the one to put them on the map. But what do those veteran guys say to you in terms of encouragement, advice, wisdom, whether it's about the music, the business end of it, whatever?
And it would be more like, what don't they say? Golly, everything that those guys have said is just, I mean, we wouldn't be where we're at if it wasn't for Oz. We wouldn't be where we're at if it wasn't for Les. I mean, those two guys, if they mean more to us than words can say, for sure.
Absolutely.
Golly, I remember when I told Oz, I think I'm going to name the record Get the Hell Out. And what did he say to me?
If you want to put the word hell on an album title, you're asking for backlash or flack or some sort of.
You better know what you're doing. When we were recording in Utah, Get the Hell Out, me and Oz would get up early and go to Starbucks every morning and discuss what we're going to do while the rest of the guys were sleeping.
Oh, man.
And and we would just talk and sit out and share coffee. And I remember one day he talked to me. Anybody who knows, like, the old, you know, especially Get the Hell Out, I was very, like, back then I was listening to, like, nothing but, you know, old school metal. So I loved all, like, the high, like, you know, Blackie Lawless kind of just staying up and screaming the whole time. And he sat me down and he said, Travis, and he said, I've been in this for a long time and I know a lot of good singers. If you do that every night, you are not going to have a voice by the time you're my age. And at the time I was like, bet. You want to bet? But no, he, I mean, just the wisdom of those guys, learning how to be tasteful, just in vocals, where to put that scream, when it's time to pull back. I mean, Les has single-handedly taught me anything that I know pretty much about warming up and stuff like that. And I mean, shoot, the last show we played that Les was at, Les Carlson played at Immortal Fest, which was such an honor to be on that. Golly, I don't have enough words for that, but I had no voice. We've been on the road for, I don't know, a while. We've been out on the road and had no voice. And I think we were about to go on in like 10 minutes or so, 10 or 20. Les pulls me aside. We go into the bathroom and he starts showing me warm-ups. For about 5 or 10 minutes, we warmed up, probably about 5. And I got up there and I sang and I preached harder than I had the whole tour with no vocal problems. I mean, they have so much wisdom. And, you know, one thing that really bothers me, there's a lot of things that bother me about, I'm just going to be honest, a lot of things that bother me about us young bands that haven't been in it as long as those guys. And one of the things that really bothers me is the lack of honor that we have for these guys who paved the way for us. Mm-hmm. And I can't stand it when you got somebody who's basically legend status, like Oz Fox or Les Carlson or whatever, and these young guys don't show any respect, don't show any honor. It really, really bothers me, because if it wasn't for guys like that, none of us would be doing it. And just the steadiness, the unwaveringness and the faith, I mean, there's just not enough words.
Hey, Steve, did you write the script for our new Girder music commercial?
I did.
Did you make me sound good?
I did.
Did you make me sound real good?
Well, I can only do so much with the material I'm given to work with.
Wait a minute. What are you trying to say, sir?
Look, I'm not the guys over at Girder Music. I mean, they can take anything and make it sound great, like what they did with the Keith Green box set.
You're right about that. And when the music is already some of the best on the market, like Keith Green stuff is great, and they're the first ones to bring it back.
Well, no kidding. And on top of that, their packaging is second to none. I mean, take a look at the red and black or yellow and black splatter vinyl editions of Disciples Back Again, and this might sting a little.
Or what about that red swirl vinyl of Bride's classic album, Snakes in the Playground?
And as you said, they just make the music sound so good. I mean, you mentioned the Keith Green box set, but whether it's Petra, DeGarmo and Key, Rez Band, Rick Kua, or really any of your favorite Christian artists, when you get your music from girdermusic.com, it's guaranteed to sound and look fantastic.
So, can you make me sound good for our next commercial?
I'll tell you what, Wild Man, if you tell our fans about Girder Music, you will sound great.
There it is, folks. Head over to girdermusic.com today and find the best in Christian rock and metal. Their sound is the best in the business.
If I could stay on that for a moment, talking about your voice, and then I'll pitch it to Wildman. You can talk to LA about guitar stuff, and you guys can geek out on that. But vocally, Travis, there's some things I heard in your voice on the new album that were very different, and I don't know quite how to even describe it. But it's almost like a warble. If at points, and it almost sounds like a flowing liquidy sound, and it's just amazing. It's like, and you don't do it all the time, and you do it at certain points, but it is really a cool vocal thing going on. Where did that come from? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Perhaps. I mean, honestly, the season that we were coming out of, I mean, you got to keep in mind, like he was talking about, I mean, the whole world was hit with the pandemic, and we're at a point where we are so wrecked by Jesus when this goes on, and we're just say, okay, we're just going to worship. So we open up our house on Friday nights, and we just go after the Lord for 2-3 hours, just singing worship songs. And during that time, I really had, just like that old Matt Redman song, Coming Back to the Heart of Worship, when the music fades and all is stripped away, I had that heart of worship just started exploding in me. And I was just singing so much worship, song straight to God with my acoustic. And out of that time, there was so much vocal things that I started doing that I had never done before. And it just came out of that part. I think a lot of it was Sovereign, just the Lord just meeting me in that broken place of humility. And you know, he always gives more than you give. He always gives back more than you give. And honestly, I think a lot of that came from there. You know, there was this moment, speaking of less in my voice, it was probably the most, definitely the, I've never had a compliment that hit me the way it did. Les called me after hearing the record and was crying, talking about Hosanna and the vocal performance. And he told me, he said, I love you and stuff. He said, I always have. He said, but after listening to this record, he said, I'm a fan. And I just bawled. Hosanna in the highest, Son of David, Son of God, God with us, God in us, Jesus Christ, the risen one. How deep do the stripes need to be? How much blood can the Son of God bleed? No one takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. I listened to the first Blood Good record like twice a month. Like I and to hear that come from Les, it was too surreal.
For sure.
So LA, as Steve already alluded to, so we can talk about guitars for a few minutes. Steve, you can go do something else if you want. We're good.
Steve, take notes.
Yeah. So I do another podcast. Well, I did a podcast for a while called What's the Fuzz All About? And I do a blog also, so you might hear some of this in that. Okay. So just wanted to just start asking some questions. So how long have you been playing?
Oh, 16 years.
Okay.
Now that I'm 30. 16
years. All right. And what made you start playing?
Oh, man, I was 13, and every young teenage boy wanted to have a guitar, of course. And so my mom took me to this music shop that was in the mall, and I picked out this Tobacco Sunburst. Not the bad kind of tobacco. it was like a small brand called.
Hey, Cork. I thought you were an Ezra.
Yeah, I wasn't then. Okay, I wasn't then. But so I pick up this little like Fender Strat copy, and so I start trying to play that because I was really into hard rock. Grew up, you know, with music all around me. My grandpa was a song leader. My mom loved music. She showed me all sorts of styles. She loved bands like the Eagles and Lynyrd Skynyrd and Def Leppard. Mm. And then when I got to like age 13, you know, I just kept going down the proverbial spiral of musical content, you could say. Yeah. And then got into, you know, classic hard rock bands. And so I started trying to play guitar, and I had like this little dinky amp, and it was quite terrible even once I found out how to use it. And so at first I was like, I sound terrible, I quit. And so I tried to get rid of it for a whole year, and then I kind of just felt the unction to try it again. And so I picked it up again, got a little more serious. And then throughout my teenage years, there would be like, my buddies wanted to jam, so I'd get a little more serious, and then something else would happen. I'd get more serious, and then I would just kind of progress as opportunities kind of came up.
Wow. So who would you say has been your biggest influence guitar-wise?
Biggest influence and number one favorite is Oz Fox. Yeah. Just because he's spectacular, and he was the guy that took me under his wing, pulled stuff out of me I didn't know I had, spoke into me, kind of validated me, you know, in a way. He opened my mind through musical theory. He's like, okay, you got all these modes and scales, and if you play them in the right order, it's the same scale. I'm like,
yeah.
So he really took me under his wing with that. He's pretty much been like the only instruction I've had in person. He's just awesome.
Awesome.
Ooh. Perfect love has made us fearless.
So just briefly, your practice regimen, if you could tell us any guitarists that are listening out there that would be interested in knowing how you practice, how often, how long, do you have a routine? What is it that you do?
Well, definitely should be more of a routine. I always say the Lord is better to me than I am to myself on that. I shouldn't be as good as I am for as much time as I put in. So there's a ton of grace and gifting from the Lord. But I'll normally I'll give you getting ready for a show. I'll play along with the record. I'll play along with the click track. Other guitarists out there play to a metronome. And if you can't play it fast yet, play it slow and then build up to it. The riff on the bridge of the Nazarite, that was a pretty hard riff at first, and it took me a couple weeks to really nail that quickly. And so, yeah, I just hit that up. A ton of my usual guitar time is getting ready for a worship set for a Wednesday or for a Sunday, or I'll be teaching other people, going through like rudimentary stuff with them, and then I'll try to knock out some scales best I can. My favorite way to just kind of build up speed is just start on like the first position, like start out with Ionian on like the first fret on F, and then just walk up through the seven till I get an octave higher, and then try to go up one scale, slide up to another one, descend in the next position.
Okay. Well, now Steve already said that, you know, this is probably going to lead into the geek area. So real quick here, favorite guitar, favorite pick, favorite string gauge.
Favorite guitar that I have, or
no, it doesn't have one you own. No, whatever you think is your favorite.
I mean, my probably top favorite would probably be a Gibson Les Paul. Yeah. It's just an awesome instrument. I love the shape. I love the tones that you can get out of them. So I love those. Favorite pick would be a Dunlop Tortex 0.73, the Yellow Turtle. Trust the Yellow Turtle. Yeah, trust the Yellow Turtle. Sounds like a weird trip. favorite strings.
That may be the title of the next Chaotic album, guys, right there. You know?
Trust the Yellow Turtle.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you guys will laugh the next time you see one. favorite strings for Chaotic stuff right now, it's the Ernie Ball Skinny Top Heavy Bottom. Mm-hmm. That's the usual one I like at this moment.
Now, is that nine gauge?
That is 10 on the bottom, 52 on the top.
Okay, got you. Yep.
And so that's for like the C-sharp, drop C-sharps tuning that we're usually in with Chaotic stuff.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. You're usually in drop C-sharp. That's pretty interesting.
Drop C-sharp. Yeah, other people pick on us a little bit because we don't play as low as them. But, yeah. Oh, well.
I don't sing very low, though.
I don't see low.
Yeah, because I think Oz always, with Striper, they always do the D, right? Don't they? They lower the sixth string down to the D, I think, is what Michael and them always do. So you guys, C-sharp, that's great. So going out of the guitar talk now, you guys, I think we alluded to this last time you guys were on the show, okay? You guys hit a nerve, obviously, with Steve. I mean, Steve's already, he's been gushing and gushing and gushing since we had you guys on. And I am, too. You guys are incredible. I'm a huge fan also. And what really we appreciate about it is that you, when we hear you, you bring back nuances and styles that we are familiar with because it's from the era that we came from. But at the same time, you're able to blend in the modern tones and the modern sounds. So you got a good mix going. So because a lot of stuff that's popular now, especially in metal, you have the growling vocals, you have the gutturals, you know, all of that, which is very different from the melodic sound. What has caused you guys to go that direction versus what seems to be the most, what's the in metal road right now?
Yeah, you know, to quote my dad, Rocky, you dance with the girl you came to the dance with. And that's what we're doing. We've tried to do different stuff, and you are who the Lord made you to be. And I don't have a different way I can sing. He don't play a different way. Like, that's just what comes out of us. You know, you definitely wear your influences on your sleeve, stuff you grew up with. And we like those kind of bands. Like, I love a band called For Today, and they're totally screaming.
Oh yeah.
And it's all Jesus, and it's awesome. Way lower guitars than us, way different. To me, like, the style, as long as it's about the Lord, I can usually get down with it. I would say both of us definitely have, even maybe we both probably even like hard rock, just like more like straight. I don't even know a band that would sound that way, but more like, yeah, like holy. Standard A, like just very like, I don't know, almost 70 sounding hard rock, better than we like even what we do. But you just do, we just write what the Lord's given us, you know, and we do it with what he's given us to work with, you know, and we're trying to be those who, you know, if he's given us 5 talents, if he's given us 10 talents, 1 talent, whatever it is, we just want to be good stewards of that, invest it. When he comes, he'll have increase, you know, rather than the one who just buried what he's got. I don't want to bury what I got, what God has given me, and then use what somebody else has, or try to mock what somebody else has when I have a God-given thing. And so I hope that makes sense. But sure. Really, it honestly just comes down to, you know, I always wanted to sound like Michael English. I don't know if you guys know who that is. He's a Southern gospel singer. And that's my favorite singer, always has been. Well, I don't sound like Michael English. I sound way more like Sebastian Bach.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
What do you do? Am I going to sing Southern gospel?
Yeah, right. You know?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. And I've heard other, especially with vocalists, say that. I mean, there's just certain areas that their voice fits. But, you know, you were talking about, again, a little bit back to the song writing, and I want to bring that back with the kind of the tech talk that Wild Man and LA were having there, which I got to be honest, I'm deeply fascinated. I love listening in on really the tech and technical side of things. How do you go about writing your songs? And here's where I'm going with that. There are artists that are totally electric, right? Totally plugged in, but they write on an acoustic, or maybe they even write on the piano before then they take it to the electric side and record it. How do you guys write? Do you write electric, or do you write acoustic first, or do you write in some other way?
It depends on the song.
Yeah.
Logan, he calls acoustics grandpa guitars. So you're not going to see Logan with the grandpa guitar, but even in our our acoustic sets, he usually is playing his electric guitar. Like, so Logan's going to probably be writing on electric. I do everything on an acoustic. I love it. I love the acoustic. I'm a grandpa though. I'm really not. Not yet. Certain songs require different things. Okay. So like, Fairest Jesus, that was written on the acoustic. Altar was written on the acoustic. Let's see, Hosanna was written on the electric. I'm just kidding. It was written on the acoustic.
Nazarites was
written on the acoustic,
yeah.
Which is crazy. We wrote the chorus of Quicken the Dead at the same time we were writing the Altar, and we did that on the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Or I meant on the acoustic.
Yeah.
But we did Passover on... Did you write that chorus on the acoustic years ago, or did you write that on?
I feel like it was electric.
Okay, so that song was pretty much all electric. He had that chorus, Unbroken Bones. Mm. And
that tag, though.
Yeah, that tag. It was so funny because Logan had that chorus all the way till Saved a Wretch Like Me, the tag of it, you know? Saved a Wretch Like Me. And anyways, we were telling Dad about it one day. We're like, yeah. Dad's like, man, I really like that song. We're like, yeah, Logan actually wrote the whole chorus. And he goes, yeah, man, that tag, though, at the end, Saved a Wretch Like Me. I'm like, oh, I wrote that.
Of course.
But anyways, we wrote the rest of that on electric. Wrath of the Lamb was probably electric. Unto the Lamb, definitely electric. So, I mean, a lot of times the way we write, too, is we'll sit down with a couple guitars. If we know it's going to be a rock song, we'll have his little amp set up, his guitar. And we'll usually have my Pro Tools set up so we can demo out a couple of things. And that's the way we were writing.
Well, sometimes he'll just sing a vocal thing on a voice memo and be like, hey.
Yeah, like driven.
Come up with something. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I do that a lot. I'll sing like a chorus and a verse. And then I wrote it work, just like, because you know, when we're off the road, we work construction with my dad. And like, I'll be painting, like this idea just hit me, and I'll just start singing this verse, this chorus. I'll text it him, or on the way to work or whatever. And then I'll say, dude, you got to write something like that. And Logan will come up with this crazy, elaborate riff. And
it's hard to do sometimes. You got to, like, hear it out. what?
Will there be fire on the altar?
Sounds like you're getting a great response. Both just people that like the music and evangelically, which we really appreciate hearing about, you know, you guys going out there and people are getting saved because of what you do. And that's just powerful to hear. And that is, as I said before, it's very refreshing to hear about. So what do you see taking place here as you move into 2023? I mean, obviously you guys have given this to God, and he's going to be the one that opens and closes the doors. But as of right now, what do you see happening?
That's a good question. I know one thing, the Lord will be magnified. That's for sure. Wherever he has us going, we're at the point now where it's like, Lord, whatever doors that you want us to walk through, we're going to do it. And whatever doors you don't, we ain't going to do it. And so, I mean, another thing we do a lot is we play a lot of worship. And I don't just mean, obviously, this record is very worship driven. I don't mean just like the hard chaotic stuff, but we'll play like actual, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, like soft songs. Like we'll do that kind of stuff, like our worship nights. And it's funny. We probably play at least a quarter of what we do out on the road is people want us to come in and do a worship night, or they want us to come and lead worship at their church or preach at their church that Sunday after doing worship, whatever it might be, doing a revival style. Mm-hmm. And for us, man, we're like, sure, whatever you want, Lord. Like when I was younger, like when Logan first got in the band, I was like, this is worship. I would get so offended because but I just didn't have that heart of worship yet. And that's okay. There's a lot of people that maybe just aren't there yet, but you will be the longer you look at Jesus. You can't look at Jesus and not worship him.
Yeah.
You just can't. And when I fell in love with the Lord, everything just changed. And to me, it doesn't matter. Any way that I can minister to the Lord, I want to do it. And like I said at the beginning of this thing, we understand that when we minister to the Lord, he ministers to the people. So what changed big time, and what changed with this record, apart from all the other stuff that we have done before, was something happened inside of us where we understood that if we focus on the audience of one, he'll take care of the rest. We were always writing, okay, how can we reach this crowd? How can we do this? And with good hearts, because we wanted to reach people. But I can't save anybody, bro. Like, you can't save anybody. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus is Savior. He's the only Redeemer. He's the only one who paid for this thing in his own blood. I haven't done that. I can't do that. And so, like, when I caught a glimpse of him and started writing that way, just towards the one, that's when we started getting just crazy, like, this is nuts. This many people gave their life to Jesus tonight. That's insane. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just everything just changed, and it didn't even like didn't feel like anything changed, but it did.
So one of the questions we always ask is how can folks best support you? Obviously, you're trying to do this full time. You guys mentioned that a couple times in this episode. So what's the best thing? Buying the music, of course. We want people to buy the music, not just, you know, listen to it for free. But what else?
If you want to sow into our ministry, it's a fruitful ministry. People get saved every time we go out and preach the gospel. So if you want to partner in the Great Commission, you can sow into us, and we will put those funds straight to the ground to reach people for Jesus. Pray for us. We definitely will take any and all prayers that we can get.
Yeah.
Chaoticresemblance.com is where you would direct people to find all that they need that is chaotic.
Yeah, you can go there. You can go to YouTube. You can hit us up on Facebook, Instagram. But if you want to reach out to us, message us on our messenger on Facebook. I know somebody always checks in if you need prayer. We do it that way too. And then, I think we have like a PayPal and stuff too, if you want to give to the ministry. I'm sure we have different platforms. I think we're pretty up to date on.
We take all forms of currency. Maybe not Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Not that one yet.
Yeah. But like Logan said though, you know, we're not just trying to get like some kind of, like fame or next level or something. Like, we're not going to use your money to try to
look cooler, buy likes,
promote the band. Like, we're gonna put that into getting us out on the road so that we can see people give their life to Jesus. That's what we do. That's what our heart burns for. That's why we get in the vehicle. That's why we leave our families. That's it. You know, sure. It's for Him.
Well, we want to thank you for taking the time, because obviously you guys are busy. We want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us here. And we just appreciate everything you're doing. And we look forward to what God's going to do in and through you here in the future. And we're excited about that.
Yeah. Let me say one thing. Y'all's review of our record is the greatest review of any record I've ever read in my life. I was so honored that somebody wrote that about our record. I was like, it made me want to. I had to go listen to the record again. That's how excited I got. I was like, this review makes. I played on this thing. I wrote these songs with Logan. Like, I know what it sounds like, but I feel like I have to go listen to it because I was so like enticed. You guys just like, that was, thank you. That was gold.
Oh wow!
I tell you what, man. If I had my way, and I think Wildman the same, man, we'd promote this thing through the same. It is such great music. If you're a metalhead, you're gonna love it. If you don't know who Jesus is, or you've got some warped perspective of who Jesus is, this will set you straight. And if you've been walking with Him for a lot of years, as in our case we have, it just brings you back. And that's what I love. I love bold proclamation, and that's what you get. So there's something in it for everybody.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
This episode was so much fun, I'm going to go back and listen to it again. Be sure to check out the new album, Nazarite, by Chaotic Resemblance. See you next week. Same Wildman and Steve time and Wildman and Steve channel.
The Wildman and Steve Show is now partnering with New Release Today. Find out more about them at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to check out our website, where you can also leave us a review at wildmanandsteve.com.
Sounds like rock and roll to me.